next meal unless you're fasting. Olivia's going to sit there and tempt me with her Chick-fil-A milkshake. They make some of the best. I like their milkshakes anyway. When God closes a door, He opens a Chick-fil-A. We learned that in the movie Family Camp. Somebody's borrowing it. It'll be on the thing there. Who has it? Yeah. 4:14 if you want to turn there in your hymn books. Am I a soldier of the cross?
Amen.
Play it again.
Amen.
One more. 5:14, marching desire. All four verses.
Can you hear me now? I had the microphone off. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
How about you back there? You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just FYI, we made our July donation because we collected through the month of July, and we donated 30 Bibles. All right, Janie, you're going to have to do that without talking over top of me. 30 Bibles donated to Bearing Precious Seed for the month of July. And that brings our total to 2,250 Bibles. So we're going to keep on doing that till the Lord takes us out of here. Amen?
Amen.
And there's your reminder to silence your cell phone ringer. Jessica's not here for me to call down, so somebody else had to step up.
Oh, wow. No big deal.
All right. Did you get your cell phone turned down? Everybody? Now, we're getting ready to get into our current events update. Of course, we always ask you to hold questions, comments to the end. And I expect that you know at least some of this info, but be considerate of those who do not. Just telling you, there, a couple of people come up after and said they couldn't hear what I was saying because people were talking. And just, you know, keep that in mind. We want to be considerate of each other. And I haven't heard any onliner say that. If I think if we ever get so loud they can't hear me, then there's probably a problem. But we are now ready for our current events update. Number one, China leading the way to the Mark of the Beast system. If you've listened at all, I think I've played some of the video clips of Justin Trudeau in Canada and here in America, some of our leftist politicians, including Nancy Pelosi the other day, who claimed that China was one of the freest nations on the earth. They're all putting China out there as the grand example. And if you know anything about China, that should worry you. That should concern you. And you go, oh, I'm going to get caught up in the rapture. That don't matter. Well, Americans have always been kind of slow when it comes to Bible prophecy. And Bible prophecy does not say Americans will not suffer the same thing they're suffering in China right now. I repeat it over and over and over. We could become a complete dictatorship. You could lose all your freedoms. They could start killing Christians tomorrow in the United States of America. That has nothing to do with the seals, vials, and trumpets of Revelation 6 through 19. That's why a lot of people will falsely accuse those of us who believe in the pre-trib rapture and say that you don't believe you're going to be persecuted for some reason just because you're an American. And I always tell them, there are some people who have that false idea, but it's a false idea.
Yeah, amen.
I just want to show you this. I'm going to go to the page where this shows up. This is Chinese citizens lining up on their knees, waiting for Chinese government officials to scan their green QR code.
Wow.
The only difference between what you're seeing here, let me go ahead and show you that. The only difference between this and the Mark of the Beast is that. It's not the Mark of the Beast. And they're using a phone instead of their forehead or the hands. But they are required to download an app and have their vaccine updated within 48 hours. They have to show then that they've been vaccinated and that they've tested negative. That means they're being tested every 2 days at their cost. Just look at all those people. Everybody has to stop when the government officials come in and they announce what they're doing. Everybody has to stop and drop to their knees. That's what Nancy Pelosi says is one of the freest nations on the earth. That's what Justin Trudeau says. He envies that.
Well, then they can just still sit in that street.
It's like, well, they get to choose between wearing a red and blue shirt every morning.
This is another picture. This is what life has become in China since that COVID outbreak. A green QR code on their phone. See the phones there? Make sure that.
Yeah.
They're all clamoring. And then when they get it done, it shows on their phone and they're okay to then go work and buy, sell, and trade. And if they don't get that done, they can't work or go to the store or anything. Yeah, which is just the difference between the mark and is the phone right now. Your phone is your mark. It'll eventually go here or both. But right now it's on your phone. And we're being prepped for this already. Right now, for example, when I sign in to, if I want to sign into my Yahoo Mail, if I don't have my phone, I can't sign in. And more and more things are requiring you to then, if you're going to sign in on a computer or out in the stores or whatever, that you get a notice on your phone and you have to then either click the little check mark or take a number off of there and enter it in, forcing you to have your phone on you in order to use things. And it's getting pretty crazy, isn't it? Number two, the FBI Trump raid. A few facts I want to bring up about that. How many of you are not aware of that? That Trump's Mar-a-Lago offices were raided, and then they went through all their personal stuff, broke open the safe, went through Melania's clothes and closets and everything. The Democrat Party isn't just a political party, but has become the base of organization for the liberal communist cult.
Yep.
Now, for equal time purposes, I'll tell you this. All the rhinos and never-Trumpers in the Republican Party are all in the same boat. They're all serving the same agenda. Yep. It's just right now that there is a majority of registered Republicans who are fighting against the establishment, deep state, rhino, neocons in the Republican Party. The Democrat Party is done. They've lost. It's all, they're handed over to the communist cult. We're no longer the people's FBI. We're now the Democrats' KGB. Or another form was in, I believe, Romania. They call it the Stasi. And the FBI has now become an arm of the Democrat Party to punish political opponents of not just the Democrat Party, but of the entire leftist and progressive agenda, which includes Republicans like, Liz Cheney, the Bush family, Adam Kinzinger, or whatever his name is. I don't know if I ever even want to learn his name. I hope after this election he's not going to be running, and I hope he disappears from political office. But you just name, you can name all these people that are rhinos. I believe Mitch McConnell is one of them. He'll jump ship and he'll serve the interests of conservatives whenever it'll serve his political career. John McCain was one. On and on that goes. But the judge who signed off on the search warrant, how many of you have seen this? The judge who signed off on the search warrant is a guy named Bruce E. Reinhart, magistrate judge for the Southern District of Florida. This is October 23rd, 2007, as federal prosecutors in South Florida were in the midst of tense negotiations to finalize a plea deal with accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. A senior prosecutor in their office was quietly laying out plans to leave the U.S. Attorney's Office after 11 years. On that day, as emails were flying between Epstein's lawyers and federal prosecutors, Bruce E. Reinhart, now a federal magistrate, opened a limited liability company in Florida that established what would become his new criminal defense practice. This judge, Bruce Reinhart, quit when they were convicting and working on a plea bargain for Jeffrey Epstein. And he then became the attorney that represented people involved with Epstein. And he's the one who signed off on the search warrant. He's the guy on the far right. You know the other two, don't you? That's Donald Trump and Jeff Epstein. So the, by deduction, you can see the third guy there is Bruce Reinhart. And so this is dirty, dirty politics. And we're supposed to believe this. The Biden administration breaks its silence on the Trump raid. And according to the administration, President Joe Biden, we learned about this. The president learned about this, just like you all did, through the public reports. That's from the White House press secretary. Quote, and we learned about this just like the American people did. Quote, no, the president was not briefed, was not aware of it. No, no one at the White House was given a heads up. No, that did not happen.
Liar.
Well, she may not be because, come back to that second. How is it possible that such a raid, which officials confirmed was approved at the highest levels of the Department of Justice, would not be communicated to the President of the United States? Here's the thing. If that is the truth, that it is an incredible statement about the dysfunction that is the Biden administration. I think it goes even further than that. If Biden didn't know about this, it's because he's senile. And they don't tell him anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't even wipe his own rear end. That's what he says. He says. He has told people that they wipe his rear end for him. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. He says it. And the guy stands up there and tells people he has cancer. And he doesn't. Guy tells all these stories. And the thing that is that makes people think he may not be senile is just a liar, because this all goes back to 1988. In 1988, he was proven to be an habitual serial liar who told all kinds of big lies about his own education, his background, and then he plagiarized someone else's speech and someone else's life story and pretended it was about him. That was in 1988. As a matter of fact, I've just become convinced that the reason why they brought him on board under Obama and then put him and installed him as president was because he's out of his mind and they can control him. And number three, the IRS is being armed to the teeth to wage war on Americans. Senate Democrats blocked Ted Cruz's amendment in a couple of days ago and insist 87,000 more IRS agents are needed to audit middle-class Americans, while they also lie and tell people that they're not going to go after people who make less than $400,000 a year. They're liars, and they lie all the time, and they're going to lie about this too. You better believe it. We're all, you know, I won't be surprised if some of us end up suffering under this. Ted Cruz tried to put an amendment that would stop it and strike the $80 billion slush fund that is going to be used to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Cruz's amendment would remove funding, and these agents will surveil innocent Americans and small businesses with 1.2 million additional audits, half of which will target Americans making less than $75,000 a year.
Wow.
This is from Stephen Moore, an economist who is independent but is conservative. The Internal Revenue Service, 2,159 special agents, $21.3 million spent on guns and ammunition. They're not just hiring accountants. 4,500 guns, 5 million rounds of ammunition.
Yep, that's what they're...
And he's asking how many of the new 87,000 agents will be armed. Gives new meaning to weaponizing the IRS. It used to mean you're just using it as a political tool to defeat your opponents. Now they're literally weaponizing the IRS. This is from the Federalist. IRS hiring spree is the biggest expansion of the police state in American history. Let that sink in. We've seen a lot of this in the past. We've seen a lot of it under LBJ. Saw a lot of it under Billy Clinton.
Under Obama.
And under Obama. But this sets a new record.
He hired 17,000 when he got it.
What is the IRS preparing to do? This, I'm going to show you, was a job requirement listing on the IRS website. Think about this. You're an accountant. You go to the IRS website to look for a job. Major duties. Bullet point number three there. Maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job. The next one. Carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. The next, in fact, the last one, be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. There was an outcry about this, and last I checked, they removed that. But the website up at the top was jobs.irs.gov. And Ned Ryan was one of them who pointed out that they had pulled it down after the raid last night. They don't, because most of the time they can do what they do out in the open because there's so much going on that people can't keep up. And it's only when the spotlight really zeroes in on something and then they'll pull back, they'll take it down. Oh, no, that was a misunderstanding. And that's what they're doing just over and over now. That's how they play this game. And to them, it is a game. They were showing these people who were talking about what they did to Trump and using the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and all these alphabet organizations, government agencies to punish political opponents. And they were just laughing about it, just, you know, because their side isn't being targeted. Johnny?
So I imagine most, if they manage to hire that many people, it's probably not going to be Americans. Mainly because
it'll be Americans.
Except aren't we right now dealing with a time where there's tons and tons of jobs available, but nobody wants to work?
They'll find 87,000 people to take these jobs. These are good paying jobs with benefits and everything. You've got probably about 50 to 60 million leftists and liberals in this country who would love, if they have the skills, to have those jobs.
Yeah.
Yet we don't need foreigners to come in and ruin this country. We have got liberals, and that's all we need. Liberals are doing all that is needed to destroy this country. As a matter of fact, these...
Johnny,
government placement in Berkeley, California.
There's, you know, these immigrants, these illegal immigrants are coming in. Right now, they're not really affecting politics. They are hurting our country in other ways. But a lot of the jobs and a lot of the illegal immigrants come over are decent people. But let's say just 25% of them aren't. Then you're recruiting tens of thousands of criminals into this country. But as far as the politics in this country, it's all on mostly white liberals. If I was a racist, I'll tell you right now, I'd hate white people. If I was going to be a racist, I'd hate white people. Because it's the mass majority of the people who are ruining this country are white liberals.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug, you were saying
something. Yeah, we had the number one, Johnny, is to be a federal employee, you have to be a U.S. citizen.
Yeah. Until they change that.
I got what I'm saying.
Right.
Are you sure we can't pray through to make the rapture happen?
Well, I've looked, and I'm going to continue to look, Charlie, but I haven't found that Bible verse yet. Hey, I'm not kidding you. I have read through the Bible, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I'd love to find that Bible verse. It says, man, if we could just get everybody on the same page praying for it. Yeah, first him, then you, and then we'll close. So go into the Bible study.
John. Yeah. I was talking to Chuck Thurston about Windows 11. That's God. And he said, absolutely, don't even touch it because it does the same thing you're talking about. You're actually leasing it now from the company, and you have to go to them to get into the computer.
And everybody who's using Windows 10 and newer has to manually turn off the, what's it called?
OneDrive.
Or they download everything off your computer.
You take all your files.
And they get all of your stuff off your computer.
Windows 10. I need to have a chat with my computer.
And I didn't know it. I thought you had to turn it on. And then I wasn't on the internet. And I tried to save. And they said, can't save because you're not on the internet. I'm like, what can I save? I've got a gig hard drive. I got plenty of room on my hard drive for this. So that's when I was looking at him, like, Jenny! Had her come in. I'm like, look at this! All of my stuff. What I realized, I not only couldn't save what I had, I couldn't access my other stuff until I got back on the internet because it's out in the cloud. So I went out there and deleted what I could, turned it off, and every time I had to go back and do all kinds of things to work around that. I'm sure someone like Ethan or Darren could probably save me a lot of money if I'd had them around handy at that time, but I wasted hours fighting that stuff. All right, and our last news commentary from Janie there.
After I saw the news cast about the raid, that same flash Palooza on air, saying that, well, I just want to tell the nation that nobody's above the law. And I thought to myself,
yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, such hypocrites.
Where are you so
Did you see that Hillary is just flaunting it? She's now selling merchandise that says, but her emails.
Yeah.
And that she should be in prison for what she did with those emails. They didn't go and raid her house. She bleach bit, acid wash, whatever, all these thousands, 30,000 emails, which would have incriminated her. She knowingly, and everybody knows it, she destroyed evidence that would have put her in prison. What do they do about it? Nothing.
She's going to end up in eternity.
That's the, and non-Christian conservatives really kind of get angry at us for bringing that up because they're like, oh, you're just begging on that. What if it doesn't happen? But I'm sure it's going to happen, so I'm pretty resolved to the fact that, you know, I don't want him to go to hell either. I'd love to see Hillary get saved.
Amen.
I just think she's a reprobate, and I don't think there's a chance in hell. But I think if Hillary came up tomorrow and announced she's a born-again Christian and put her faith in Christ and was repentant of all this stuff, and, you know, that's how you'd know she really saved. She'd be telling you, I was wrong, I was this and that. I'd love it. But I just do not expect that.
The reason why we couldn't feel bad at all about it is we already know Jesus already paid for all of those things she did.
Yeah.
So,
all who will repent.
She might as well accept the gift that he already bought for her.
Her and every other sinner. Amen.
Yeah, every other sinner.
All right. Well, let's get into our Bible study, the word of prayer. We're in Amos. Chapter 7, we're going to close out the chapter. Beginning verse 10. And we'll ask Brother Jim to pray. And as you do, pray for these oddball characters. They're going to be driving around who knows where, doing who knows what. We just want to pray the Lord keeps them safe.
Amen.
And provides plenty of opportunities for them
to... I'm bringing about 400 gospel.
There you go.
I'm still praying for revival, okay?
Amen.
All right.
Lord, Father, we ask for blessing in the service tonight. Thank you for what pastors prepare for us, Lord. Thank you that we come with expectant minds and open hearts to receive from the Lord. And Lord, we do just pray for John and Jill and the kids, that you would bless them. Whatever those plans are, Lord, that you just give them traveling mercies. That you would open opportunities, Lord, for them to share the gospel, to get out tracts, to share the good news, Lord, just to, that people would be open, would be receptive, Lord, to receive these tracts that John works so hard.
Yes, amen.
And we just pray that they have a blessed time, that their batteries are recharged, Lord, and they come back on fire for you, Lord, and share all the good news with us, all the tracks that they got out. We just passed on it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's line up the readers before we get into this. Start on this side this time. Acts 26, 24-28. Charlie, are you ready to read that? Acts 26, 24-48. And then Jenny, 1 Kings 22, 7-9. And then you guys are able to, we'll go ladies first. 1 Kings 22, 11-14. And then Jim, 1 Kings 22, 15-18. And Johnny, 1 Kings 22, 23-25. And let's get the other J. Albone here. 1 Kings, the other J. Albone, you. 1 Kings 22, 26-28.
22, 26-28, I
ask. Jill, Jeremiah 20, verses 7-9, and that's it. All right. Everybody got their...
Who's after me?
All right, we're in Amos 7:10-17. The land is not able to bear all his words. Beginning verse 10, we're going to read have you read the odd with me. So I'll start in verse 10, and then you all join in the odd. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos, hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Amen?
Amen.
So we start right off in verse 10. We see the religious leaders opposed the words of God coming through Amos. How many of you have ever had religious people oppose you, and all you're doing is telling what the Bible says?
Yeah.
I mean, if not, you're not doing your job. Because you should have had that experience. Many times you've been saved for many years. Because that's just the way it is. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. Simply speaking God's word, he calls a conspiracy.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. I mean, all I've done is tell people what we believe as Bible believers, and they call you, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. What? Back in the 90s, I had no idea what they even meant by that. Turns out that because we believe that the world governments are all coming together in an effort to overthrow the sovereignty of individual nations, including the U.S. Government and its constitution specifically, in order to form a world government. We believe that based on the Bible. But that makes us a conspiracy theorist. And because we see that our deep state government, unelected government, are made up of people from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Freemasons, the Jesuits. We have all these groups that they counter one another, but they all want the same end game. And they, that in whatever team you're on there, as I mentioned, they want a world government. God has, to this point, kept them from joining arm in arm. But that's what's going to change after the rapture. After the rapture, possibly even at least to a large extent brought on by the rapture, all these groups are going to come together and form a union of states. May not be the United Nations, but that's a model. It'll be similar to that. So those using conspiracy theorists as a pejorative, which means they use it to put you down. You're a conspiracy theorist. Are usually themselves conspiracy theorists. Notice in your text, what's it say there? Verse 10, it says, Amos hath conspired against thee. But that's actually a conspiracy theory right there. He believes it's a conspiracy. That Amos is not just preaching the word, but he's actually conspiring against. So that Amaziah is the one who believes in a conspiracy theory. You see that? And that's the way it is today. If you talk to these left-wing nuts and these other, you know, progressive type, anti-America first conservatives, or not conservatives, Republicans, if you talk to them for much time at all, you'll find out they believe in the conspiracies. They believe that there's a conspiracy, and some of them believe in a white supremacy conspiracy. Others believe in a Christian nationalist conspiracy. I don't know some don't have a name for what they believe. They just believe that there's this conspiracy. And they'll call you a conspiracy theorist, but they're the ones who believe in the conspiracy theories.
Yep.
I just think it's very ironic what we read here in this text. And he says, the land is not able to bear all his words. That's exactly where we're at, again, here in America. That's why you get canceled and get your Facebook account, your Twitter account. Now, in some ways, it's political. That's why Donald Trump was kicked off Twitter, for example. But we were threatened to lose all of the work we did on YouTube. So I just felt it was wise to shut the channel down, move all our stuff to another channel before they deleted it and we lost it all. But there are others who ministries have been shut down. Why? Because they are saying the same thing, that you are causing trouble. It's not their sin. We're just preaching and saying, repent.
Yeah.
That's wicked. That's wrong. Stop. Stop before it's too late. But what do they say? You're causing trouble. Just like we've talked about the suicide rate among the LGBT, you know, and all that. They'll say that the reason why the suicide rate among that community, as they call themselves, is so high is because of us. Because we preach that what they're doing is a sin. And we make them feel bad about themselves, so then they go kill themselves. Yeah, it's our fault. That's what I'm saying. The land is not able to bear your words, troublemaker. You're out there telling people that stuff's a sin. Hater. That's what they call you. It happens to me almost every day now on either social media, or they hear the messages on the radio or on the internet. And I get the emails and everything almost every day. Someone calls and says, I am full of hate. Why is that? Because I preach against sin, and particularly against their sin or the sin of their children or their friends or whoever. And they always say, oh, look at the love coming from the Christian pastor. I'm like, yeah. That's what you're getting. That's love. If I didn't love you, I'd just let you go to hell. I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Johnny?
We shouldn't be surprised by this at all. I mean, I've started to notice the pattern that pretty much the enemy, when their ideas stop working, they'll just blame whatever else they can find that it stopped working. So it just gets worse.
Yeah.
And so it's just in this case.
Anything but repent.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
wicked cannot bear God's words. And that's why they have to cancel you. They have to ban you. And eventually they start locking you up. I haven't heard anything since, but there's a lady over in Denmark who was going to go to prison for just saying that she didn't believe in gay marriage. You know?
Wow.
So instead of repenting, the wicked try to silence all opponents. Cancel culture. It's right there. Verse 11, it says, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Amos is not trying to make that happen. Amos is not even saying he wants it to happen. Amos is just saying, God has said this is what's going to happen. So what do? What's the old saying? Shoot the messenger. He's simply relaying God's message, and that's what we're in trouble for. I didn't make the rules that you have to be born again by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ or you go to hell. But that's what God says, so that's what we tell you.
Yep.
I didn't make up the rules that sex outside of marriage is a sin. And if you identify with it and refuse to repent, you'll burn in hell. God said that. I didn't. I'm just quoting him. I'm just relaying the message. God, you know, is opposed to drunkenness. God is opposed to drug use that puts you out of a sober mind. We're to be sober-minded. God is opposed to the altered state of mind where you open yourself up to devils. God is opposed to horoscopes. God is opposed to mediums. God is opposed to the crystal balls and the tarot cards. God is opposed to necromancy and having seances and Ouija boards. God's opposed to blasphemy. God's opposed to all these things, not because God is, you know, no fun. He's opposed to it because it will end in your destruction. And in His holiness, He hates wickedness, and in His goodness, He doesn't want you destroyed. And that's why He opposes these things. But people are just giving over to it. Scripture with Scripture. This reminds me of the response of the Apostle Paul to Agrippa in Acts 26, verses 24 through 28. Charlie's going to read that for us.
And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness.
Amen.
For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
I'm telling you, if you look at that close, if you're talking to people about Jesus Christ and the gospel and sin these days, that's the same flow you'll get in conversations. The first thing he did is, first he says, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Much learning made me mad. You're crazy. And he said, I'm not crazy. I'm not mad. And then he confronts him with the fact that you know good and well what I'm saying is true.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he says. He said, I know that thou believest. He knows. Then Agrippa said, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And sadly, that's where we come down with most people. That very few people will repent and believe the gospel even though they know what you've told them is the truth.
And he said, Agrippa, you know that this is true. Agrippa didn't say, no, I don't.
Right. It's clear.
No,
he just dodged it.
Yeah. So we are to speak God's word just like Amos. It's just that simple. That's all you do. You get in trouble when you start throwing in your own opinions about things. Or you want to convince them about things that really don't matter. That's where a lot of Christians go wrong. Now, I'm talking to an unsaved guy who, you know, believes that the leaders of our country are reptilians, or believes in the flat earth, or, you know, any of these things. I don't debate that stuff with them.
Amen.
I just tell them, well, one way or another, it still comes down to the fact that you're a sinner and Jesus Christ died for your sins. And then I think, well, if they get saved, hopefully the Spirit of God will lead them out of that stuff. But there's a lot of professing Christians fall for that stuff too. So I'm kind of at I'm at the end of my rope with some people trying to talk to them about it. But the important thing is you're saved. And in verse 12, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah. Basically, it's similar when they say, you know what, keep your religion in your church. Get out of Bethel and keep your religion down there in Judah. And they come up with the lies of the separation of the church. Church and state, which isn't in the Constitution. Got copies of it right here. I can read it to you. It's not there. What our Constitution says is there will not be established a state church. That's all. It even actually goes on to say your free exercise of religion cannot be, is it the word infringed? Prohibited. So, by the very nature of the perverted version of separation of church and state, they're prohibiting your free exercise of religion. But that's what's being said here by Amaziah. Amos, get out of, go back to your church. Keep it in your church. Keep it in the church walls and leave us alone. If they can't run you out of town, they cancel you, as we said a moment ago. And that's what verse 13 he then says. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Shut down the Facebook page. Shut down the Twitter page. Shut down the YouTube channel. And they have at times been able to shut down churches.
Yeah.
Canada, yeah. Big time in Canada. Whatever it takes, they're going to shut you up. For it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. You know what Bethel's supposed to be? Bethel's not supposed to be the king's chapel and the king's court. It's supposed to be the house of God.
Yeah.
Beth house, El of God, house of God. Well, it's no longer the house of God. It's the house of the king. They've turned the king into their god. I want to say this before I move on to that's what the cheap shot that they'll say about those who are conservatives. You turned Trump into a god. First of all, God's infallible. I think Trump's wrong on the vaccine. I think Trump's been wrong on a few other things, including sending Jared Kushner over there to Israel and so forth. But I'm not stupid. And I know when a guy is going to stand up for me and my family and my local church and freedom of religion, Second Amendment, whenever he's got some hang-ups, comparatively speaking, he's way better than everything else I've had in my lifetime. So get over it. And then you got people ain't got no sense at all who support the death cult that's in power right now. It's a death cult. The godless gain power and then use their power to silence God's people. Again, happening right here in America. It's just amazing because there's a time where Americans would read this and not be able to relate. That's just a few years ago. But now it's like, wow. I mean, exactly what is going on with Amos is hitting us right between the eyes here in America. Verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. That's how I felt when I was called in the ministry, to be honest with you. I just wanted to be in ministry. I didn't want to be a pastor. I decided, well, the Lord seems to be leading me to be a pastor, but what I really would like to do is just find a good, solid preacher who's pastor in church, and I'll be his right-hand man. I want to be his Timothy. And I tried here, and he's a nut. So I go to another one. He's a liar. Go to another one. He's an adulterer. One after another, I kept trying to serve under men, and they all were a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
Fakes. Probably not even called into the ministry, and if they were, they dropped their call somewhere along the line. And so that's when we met, got married, tried one more time, went through a bunch of baloney, and I said, I'm done. Not ministry. I'm done with men.
Amen.
And that's when we started BBF, and that's what we've been doing ever since. Doug?
Amen. Yeah, a lot of people, they don't even love the Lord. They love the benefits of being a pastor, $100,000.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Franklins. And
the Franklins.
But, you know, it's like every time I face off with any of these leftists out there, that's one of the first things they'll bring up. Number one, I'm fat. Number two, I'm bald. I'm like, what's that got to do with anything? But they always then say, you're just in it for the money. I'm like, well, as I've said many times, then I'm very bad at this. Because I'm not making money. And there's nothing wrong with paying a preacher. But Doug's right. A lot of guys get in the ministry thinking, wow, you know, $125,000 a year, nice 401k they pay for, get all the health benefits, get to golf and call it counseling, you know, and all this stuff.
And a boat called visitation.
A boat called visitation. Yeah, he's out on visitation. So Amos is saying what our attitude should be. Our attitude is, I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to be faithful. But God came along and said, I got something for you to do.
Right.
And that's how I feel about the ministry. That's why I constantly tell people, there's some churches where the preacher wants to be the personality. It's a personality cult. I'm the man. You know, and everybody looks at the man. You know, and I walk through and everybody. I've seen it in churches like that. And I just don't want anything to do with that. Respect the Word of God. Respect the pastor of your church. If you go to a different church, if he's a Bible-believing preacher, respect him, love him, pray for him. But don't make a little god out of him, and don't act like he's anything more than a sinner saved by grace who happens to be given certain abilities to teach. You have to be apt to teach, and a love for teaching, and a love for people, and an infallible book.
Amen.
and you've got the same book. But we're only messengers. That's what we are as pastors and teachers. They don't hate us. They hate God's Word. And that's something you have to kind of keep in mind. Keeps you from feeling things about them that you shouldn't. You realize they don't hate me. They hate God and they hate His Word.
Therefore, they do hate us.
Well, they do, but it's as Jesus said, you know, He said, it's you, it's me they're after.
Yeah, that's true.
Scripture is Scripture again, a greater, lesser known prophet. It sounds like a contradiction, it's not. A great, lesser known prophet named Micaiah demonstrates this. We're over in 2 Kings 22:7-9.
And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah."
When we read, you know, Jenny and I read through the Bible, we come to this, and I'm like, here, listen to her. I did it every time, she just gets a kick out of this. I love it. But it is great.
Because, you know, sometimes they tell the truth.
Yeah.
He's telling the truth.
Yeah, he just, I hate him, because he never says anything good about me. But he's speaking God's word, so it's God who never says anything good about him.
Yeah.
All right.
You did miss that one part where he humbled himself, and God did have something good to say about that.
Well, yeah, that's true. He didn't. Now, 11 through 14, who's Kim?
And Zedekiah the son of Chenaiah made him horns of iron and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one with them, and speak that which is good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, I will speak."
They want to hear positive preaching. Don't say bad things. Just say good things. Say positive things. Make us smile. Micaiah says, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." First responds with facetious sarcasm.
Yep.
1 Kings 22:15-18. Jim?
So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And the king said unto him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?"
So the first thing Micaiah says is, "Yeah, go on. Go ahead. The Lord will prosper you." And it's so obvious that he's being facetiously sarcastic that he says, "How many times I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which the Lord... which is true in the name of the Lord." Well, then he didn't want to hear that. Because then when he hears that, then he says, "Didn't I tell you? He's not going to say anything good." Just very human story. But then Micaiah lays out the truth in 1 Kings 22:23-25.
"Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself.
So he resorts to violence, gets nasty with him. And Micaiah says, You're going to see. You'll see it. And the response to the truth, look at verses 26 through 28.
And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you.
So you just think about that. That's exactly what they would love to do to us. They always do when they have the power. And it's getting ugly.
Yeah.
And if they keep getting power, then that's what they're going to start doing to us. Just like they did Micaiah. Tell him they want him to speak, and then when he speaks, they don't like what he says. And then when they resort to violence, and then they're going to put this fellow in prison, feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. So Amos, they're reading about here in Amos 7, he's just like that prophet Micaiah. Same sort of treatment he's getting, same spirit. In verse 15, And the Lord took me, Amos said, as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now, God had told other men to do that, and guess what they did? Some of them ran and hid because they knew they were going to be persecuted. And you remember that's really what all the 11 surviving apostles did when Jesus went to the cross.
Yep.
Then after the resurrection, they saw the risen Savior, received the Holy Spirit, and things changed. And that's why you and I have to understand we face off with these kind of things. Don't try to do it unless you are full of God's Word and God's Spirit. You have crucified your flesh. You have died to self. You've presented your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, under control of His Spirit. Because the history books are full of them. Martyr's Mirror and Fox of Martyrs tells a lot of stories about people who did suffer, but there are a lot of people who didn't. There were a lot of people who recanted.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who didn't face the fires of martyrdom with courage, but it was because they tried to do it in their own flesh. And Amos was full of the Spirit of God, and he's simply the Lord is simply looking for faithful servants. Amos is just a shepherd. No degrees, no pedigree, doesn't have a lot of money, but he was faithful. And that's all the Lord's looking for. Luke 19:17, we read that a couple of weeks ago. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been what?
Faithful.
Faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities. He's not asking miracles of you. He does the miracles. He's asking you and I to be faithful. Verse 16, Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear God's word. That's just true of the wicked across the board throughout history, and it's the same today. They don't want to hear the truth. But Jeremiah describes the reality of God's word and the true man of God. When you're truly God's man or woman, and you love the Lord, and you want to be faithful, and there'll be times where you'll think about giving up. There'll be times you're like, you know what, I'm done. I'm just sick of this. I'm tired of it. But what happens? Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9, Jill.
O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily.
Listen close.
Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
You really love the Lord. You're full of his spirit. You're full of his word. You're not going to be able to stand silently. You got to say something. And don't let people talk you out of it. People today, and I've seen it so many times, it's usually someone who doesn't know the Bible, doesn't care to know the Bible, but they know enough to be dangerous, and they'll say, don't judge. Don't judge. You're being judgmental. Say something uplifting. Don't say something negative. I see it all the time. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say the truth. And the truth, if you love the truth, is uplifting even when it's something ugly for those who are under the judgment of God. Guess what? If you're not under the judgment of God, that's uplifting because it's not about you. And a lot of what God says is uplifting. But there's times where what you have to say is not uplifting. Jeremiah was told, you know, God said, I'm going to use you to tear down and destroy. Imagine if that was on our website. Come to BBF where we tear down and destroy. That was Jeremiah's calling, yeah. What's important is that we do what God has told us to do. And you've heard me say this, I don't want to say it too often, but it has to be said in the context of our study. I don't care who it is, I don't care, friend, family, neighbor, whatever. If me standing for God's word is going to cost our relationship, bye. Because, you know, if you love the Lord and you love the word of the Lord, we and you are going to get along fine. Verse 17, closing. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Number one, I want to say this before I read the closing caption there. Number one is it doesn't say, even here, it doesn't say God is going to cause that to happen. He basically is lifting his hand, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He doesn't cause their wife to become a harlot. He's saying, because you've rebelled against me, I'm turning my back. And this is what's going to happen, because God is omniscient, and he knows what's going to happen. And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. So our next study begins chapter 8, verse 1. Let's close with a song. Wednesday nights we pray. Some people have the mistaken notion that this song is about 60 seconds or 60 minutes. Sorry. Sweet Hour of Prayer isn't about 60 minutes. It's not saying that you should spend 60 minutes in prayer. It's the hour of prayer, meaning that word, use of the word hour, doesn't always mean 60 minutes. 361. Yeah, you can think of it as a season of prayer. There's times where it may be more than an hour, 60 minutes, maybe 65 minutes, maybe 70 minutes, 90 minutes. But a lot of times your prayers are short and sweet. But there's an hour of prayer. There's a period of prayer. There's a time where you need to pray. We do that on Wednesday nights. You know, I went to prayer meetings for years where they never prayed.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
And Then I went to other prayer meetings and it was a shout contest. And everybody would try to outshout each other. Oh, Lord, help us! You know, that kind of thing. Sorry, Jim. Spilling in for Jessica. She's not here tonight. But love you, Jessica. But the important thing is we pray about what we need to pray about. Don't try to impress people. God's not impressed if you just ramble on about nothing. But also, spend some time in prayer. We encourage our onliners, and we turn off the live streams for privacy reasons. But you can then, live stream goes off, spend a little time with the Lord in prayer. We appreciate your prayers. We pray for your prayers when you send them to us. We know what to pray about, but we also just ask the Lord to meet your needs, even though we don't know what they are sometimes. So with that in mind, you can stand if you can. Let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, 361. Thank you.